Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. You may have noticed that now in our continuous reading from the Gospel of Luke, we have reached a portion of that Gospel in which our Lord begins to define the character of discipleship, calling those to follow him, outlining what this following would be, what is required of a disciple, and how, in fact, disciples are made. And I should like to talk a little about the nature of discipleship, especially as our Lord Jesus both exemplified it and called others to live it. You may know by now that I have a particular interest in words and their origins and the power of their meaning, because I think it is important to understand that language is one of the most powerful medium of extending the truth of our faith. But also, the ability to speak is one of the clearest indications that we are indeed made in the image and likeness of God. Because God just spoke the word, and the word that he spoke created its meaning. And in a sense, our use of words is also intended to express the reality, the truth of God's life and God's creation around us. So you take the word disciple, and like so many words in English, it is ultimately derived from the Latin, which in its original meaning meant someone who was learning. But the word disciple is derived from the Latin word discere, which means to listen. And to listen with such care that we begin to discern not only the truth of what we hear, but what that truth is calling us to be. That is why the word discernment is very close to the word disciple. We also learn that, in fact, the word disciple, closely related to discipline, indicates the kind of rigorous training that is necessary to be a disciple, to learn, to listen, and then to act. Actually, the word disciplina, or discipline, came to mean in common parlance among our early Christians who spoke Latin, also to mean some kind of punishment. I remember St. Augustine once remarked that he learned the Greek verbs to the rhythm of the teacher's rod on his back. Now, of course, the word discipline needs not mean simply some punishment or some rigorous training, but discipline is an ordering of the heart and the mind. So that to be a disciple, one has to learn to listen very carefully, and particularly to listen for the voice of God who calls us. For all discipleship is a vocation. It is a response to an initiative that comes from God himself. And that call can be heard in our prayer, can be heard in our common worship. It is heard in the spoken word that we preserve in the sacred scriptures and through the tradition of the church. And in this past Sunday's gospel, we heard Jesus call others to discipleship, to following him, with an extraordinary urgency. He even issues some sayings that may be difficult to grasp, where one person who was called said, "Well, I will follow, but first let me bury my father." And Jesus simply says, "Let the dead bury the dead. Drop everything and come to follow me." Now, a saying like that takes a great deal of meditation and consideration as to its meaning. But clearly, our Lord was telling us that the call is urgent. And if we listen correctly, we realize that in grasping the word that is spoken to us. We need not only to understand it, but to act upon it. Now, paired with the gospel from last Sunday's Mass, we have a reading from the Old Testament which talks about the transference of the prophetic mission of Elijah to Elisha. In fact, you may notice that the mantle of Elijah plays a very large role in signifying the passage of the prophetic mission to Elisha, his pupil. And that's why in English now we have the phrase, assuming the mantle of whatever, of prophecy or professorship, that is, receiving something that is passed on to us. And I should like to talk about a particular kind of discipleship, which is the discipleship of the prophet. Now, prophecy played an extraordinary role in the Old Testament. Although with the coming and the preaching of John the Baptist, in the New Testament, the prophetic role was considered to have been fulfilled now, completed, as it were, in John the Baptist, whose prophecy then came to fulfillment in the appearance of the Messiah in Jesus Christ. But there is still a powerful sense of prophetic life that exists in Christianity and in the Catholic tradition. But I think we have to understand very carefully what a prophetic discipleship looks like. There is a common misunderstanding, usually arising from our modern usage of the term, that a prophet is one who tells the future. That is not technically a prophet. That is more a seer or a clairvoyant. A prophet is one who is called by God to remind the people of what God had taught them and to call the people back to a living of the word that they had originally received. So a prophet, if he speaks at all about the future, really speaks about consequences. Having preached the word of God he had received, calling the people back to faithfulness, would often tell them that indeed if you do not heed the prophetic call from God, this or that may happen to you in the future. Well, this is talking about consequences that may happen, rather than revealing the future. Later in Old Testament prophecy, there was more and more a sense, not only of being a seer, but also of being able to interpret mysteries and signs. But the original and abiding meaning of a prophet is one who is called by God, not assuming the title for himself, but called by God to call others back to the truth and reality of God's revelation to us. And this call to the path of fidelity is a prophetic utterance, is a discipleship that includes both words and actions. So many of the prophets, when they were first called, seem to have resisted it. Isaiah, when he encountered God in the Holy Temple, was astounded. He said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Or Jeremiah, throwing up all sorts of excuses to the Lord for refusing to accept the prophetic call. They did not accept the call because of something that would give them authority or would give them prestige. They accepted the call because it was the urgent call of the Lord himself. And they acted as prophets in both word and action. So often a prophet would, in fact, live out in his own life a call from God and a message of God's sense of fidelity to his promises, and to a call to a life of fidelity among the people. I think of the prophet Hosea, whose whole life became by example a prophetic part of his mission. And I mention this because every baptized Christian who would be a disciple has a prophetic vocation. And that prophetic vocation includes both living out personally the commandments and the meaning of Lordship of Jesus Christ, but also passing it on. And I think of how Christians, in what we might consider very ordinary ways, fulfill their prophetic role. I think of a husband and wife, loyal to their marital vows, to that deep fidelity that they pledged to each other on their marriage day, as a powerful sign in our own world of the prophetic call to fidelity. I think of priestly celibacy, which is part of that prophetic call to live a life totally devoted to the work of Christ, to the preaching of his word, to the administration of his grace-filled and life-giving sacraments. That celibacy becomes a prophetic sign of devotion and clarity. I think parents have a prophetic role to play in the way in which they raise their children. So I think it's interesting in this past Sunday's gospel that Jesus is called to discipleship, urgent and strong, is paired with the story of the passing on of the prophetic mantle from Elijah to Elisha. For it is also a sign not only that God continues to call to discipleship, but he assures that it will be passed on from generation to generation.